Good morning, everybody. I didn't get to greet many of you. I'll try to catch up and do the best I can. Well, today, before baptism, I'm going to kind of do a sequel to what I began last week. I went a kind of a different direction, ending up with Randy Alcorn's story and an application of how to get to heaven. And I'm going to come back to that. I feel like it's really important. It's basic. To all of you who are guests today, welcome, welcome, welcome beyond a name and the way we do it. I hope you really sense the Lord's presence, whether you know or can explain it or not, just his nearness and his immense love that he has for you. And we're going to celebrate that love through baptism today. So I just want to remind you all as I dive in that life originates with him, Almighty God. Regardless of where you are in your relationship with him, he initiates life. I'm reminded about this because of Acts 17:28 that says this phrase in that scripture, in him, like today, right now, we live and move and have our being or we exist. So we have life today and he's responsible for it. Not only life, but he wants to give us eternal life. We see every day examples of God's goodness and his presence, and let's be God seekers. Let's look for his goodness and activity, even on a rainy Sunday morning like this. I mean, I'm sorry to be a pessimist, but it's helping my new grass grow. So we're thankful for the rain, aren't we? It's good. So I'm hitting on a touchy subject again today. Shouldn't be, but for many it is. But first of all, I'll say, and I always end up positively, but heaven is absolutely real because we've been talking about uncertainty in the series, and there's so much doubt. We just don't know. We don't know. But heaven is real. God and his goodness fill the space. You want to go there. I ask myself, why in the world wouldn't anyone want to go spend eternity with Almighty God, the creator of all things? You want to go there. The good news is this, you can go there because everybody's invited. You can be certain of your eternal destination. I've also been talking about the reality of hell, a place where God and his goodness are missing. I don't think we can relate to that in this world, in this life at all. But try to imagine what that would be like with God and goodness totally missing. You don't want to go there. You don't have to go there. That's good news as well. And you can be certain that you're not. 1 Thessalonians, I was reminded of this verse in this chapter in verse 4:13. 1 Thessalonians, it says, I love this family language. And now, dear brothers and sisters, that's not just them, but it's us all-ins. We want you to know. Could somebody please say no? That's not N-O, that's K-N-O-W. We want you to know what will happen to believers, those in relationship, those who say, I am a child of God, who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Because there's a lot of grieving that is hopeless in this world. But he said, I want you to know. Does that sound like certainty to you? I want you to know, you can know. So let's breeze over some things, and then I want to end with an illustration in a little while, but I want to remind you of something I started last week, that hell is real, and it's a choice for eternal life, listen, without God. It's a choice. Because I reminded you last week that we were all created to live forever, and there's only two choices, biblically, heaven or hell. And God wants all of us, his very good creations, as it says in Genesis, to choose to be in heaven with him. But those who reject him and his loving provision, God, listen, God graciously honors their free will to choose hell where they can live forever without him, because that's what hell is all about, eternal separation from God. Is that making sense? But it's our free will. Secondly, I'd say quickly that hell's a place of punishment, eternal punishment, the Bible says, for Satan and all of his. Now, God's sovereign, that means he's totally in control of all things. And I just remind you, I want to emphasize, Satan is absolutely not in control, ever. He's a defeated foe. He's on God's leash, if you will. Got that? He is under God's control. And I just want to emphasize this for a moment. I want us to be very careful about putting Satan ever on the same level of God and talking about him as much or more than we talk about God. Are you hearing me? They're not on the same level. You see, when we do that, we're agreeing in this way. He wants equal billing with God. That's the story from the beginning of time. He's always wanted to be equal with God, but he knows it's hopeless. That's why he was literally thrown out of heaven in the first place. Because only God gets glory. Only God gets glory. So let's not give Satan all the attention, okay? Satan promotes and embodies all that's evil. His mission is simple, as it says in John 10:10a. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Does that sound good to you? Absolutely not. So he'll be punished, not disciplined, but punished as in permanent in hell forever, alongside sinners who decline and reject God. You'll notice my shirt says Y2J, but it's possible for us to have an N2J, no to Jesus. That's your choice because you have free will. But hell is for those who refuse to say, regardless of the opportunity's invitation, yes to a relationship with Jesus. Revelation 20:10 illustrates it. The devil who had deceived them, it says, picking up in verse 10 of Revelation 20, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There, listen, they will be tormented day and night forever. And we talked about that a little bit. Three, hell is general punishment for evil. Again, not discipline. There's discipline in this life. The Bible says discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, but there's no discipline. It's eternal punishment. Here's the problem. A lot of us think that there's no way a loving God could send anybody to hell because we think of ourselves as really good and we don't see evil within us. And I hear this all the time. I've heard it this week. I'm a good person. I try to be nice. I try to do good things. I try to be kind. I try to help people. But I want to remind you today, if God chose to ignore our sin, he wouldn't be loving. Do you understand that? In his love, he provides a remedy and a cure for our sin. Why? Because he loves us so much and he knows that sin is absolutely toxic, not only to us, but to others. Right? Our sinfulness leaves a wake and it has a horrific impact of those who are following us. If not dealt with by Jesus, it will lead to ultimately to permanent separation from God. And that's what none of us want for sure. If God chose to ignore sin, he also wouldn't be holy. But he is holy. Sin is evil and God is just, and it's impossible for God to be holy without being just. Evil, sin must be dealt with. And the punishment for sin doesn't mean, listen, it doesn't mean that God isn't fair. In fact, it's evidence that he is just. He's got to deal with it. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, they, evildoers, will be punished with eternal destruction forever. Here it is, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. I just want to tell you, we don't want to go there. And we don't have to. What? Forever separated from the Lord and his glorious power? I'll say it again. This is hell, being forever separated from the Lord and his glorious power, as the scripture said. Hell is the absence of God and his goodness. Goodness will be nowhere to be found. This will produce, listen, eternal, whatever you think, this is true theologically, it'll produce eternal isolation, remembrance, and regret forever. Does that sound like misery to you? It does to me. Well, let's have a reality check. Heaven and hell exist because we are all eternal creations. Right now, if there's life and breath, you are an eternal creation. And there must be a place for us to spend eternity after we die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, very clearly, 27, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ has offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. Is anybody glad about that? That's us. He will come again, not to deal with our sins when he comes back again, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for you. Those who are in relationship with Jesus, we're eagerly waiting for him because we're certain that heaven's going to be our eternal home, our destination. God has given us the free will to choose life and eternity with or without him. Think about that. But he sent Jesus so we know how much he loves us. No matter what, no matter where we've been, no matter where we are, no matter where you are today, he's still inviting you to spend eternity with him. He said, I want you always to be with me where I am. Hell is the place where God rightly punishes evil because sin is evil and it has to be dealt with. The scripture bears that out in Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's pretty inclusive, is it not? James 4:17, this is interesting. It says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Sometimes I don't think we view that as sin. Sin is doing bad things, but sometimes it's not doing things we ought to do. God's grace has to deal with that. And that includes those, as I mentioned, who said, I'm a good person, I have a good heart, I'm kind, I try to do good things. There are no human exceptions to this verse in the Bible. All means all. All means all. Because God knows that we tend to drift towards idol worship. We don't like to call it that, but it's anything that we have elevated in our lives above God in a relationship with Him. So, talking about hell and sin these days may not be popular. Listen, but that doesn't mean it's untrue. Did you hear me? It may not be popular. There may not be a lot of pastors talking about hell today in Worcester, but it doesn't mean that it's not true, that it's not real. There's no hope unless we admit our sinfulness, our selfishness, and exclaim and proclaim that we're needy. If we don't see, listen, if we don't see ourselves as sinful, S-I-N-F-U-L-L, we won't see our need for a Savior. And that's where so much of our culture is. I don't need that. He didn't have to go to the cross for me. I'm a good person. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Above all else, who can know it? Only God is good and holy. I want to go back. I'll say that line again. We're needy. We're in great need. If we don't see ourselves as sinful, we won't see our need for a Savior. And that's a prerequisite. We've got to see our need for a Savior. Only God is good and holy. Because He's holy, He must be just. Because He's just, He must punish sin. God is good and holy and just. Love is who God is. This is a message about God's love, is what it is. Romans 5:8 bears it out again. But God showed His what? Great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. When? While we were still sinners. How many know that's good news? That includes anybody and everybody in this room, online, whoever it may be. The life and suffering and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus make all the difference in the world. Let me read Romans 3:24-6. Yet God in His grace, unmerited favor, not something we could earn or deserve, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. We did it. We've done it. We do it. But He frees us from the penalty. He paid our debt. Go on. For God presented Jesus, think about this, this incredible gift, as the sacrifice for sin. People were made right with God when they believed that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that Jesus, God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. We could talk about that. That'd be another sermon. Next verse. For He was looking ahead, including them, in what He would do in the present time. In other words, His death on the cross wasn't just for everything after. I mean, His death on the cross was for everything, everywhere, all time. Do you understand that? It went backwards, forwards. It went in every direction. We'll talk more about that some other time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair. But I hear God's not fair. That's one of the things growing up in our household. We didn't let our kids say, that's not fair. I go, I guess it isn't, but do it anyway. God Himself is fair. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just. And He makes, listen, good news, He makes sinners right in His sight when they what? When they believe in Jesus. This is an inclusive invitation. It's like saying, you all come. Come to Me. When we choose Jesus, He does things like this. He justifies us just as if we never sinned. That's what it means. He freely extends us loads and loads of grace. Has anybody experienced His grace in your life or your family's life today? He redeems and saves us. In other words, He makes us spiritually alive for eternity. He makes atonement. In other words, He removes all of our sin. He took our sin on the cross and paid our debt, as I mentioned. That's why Dixie and I used to sing songs for years like Grace That Is Greater Than All of Our Sin. Grace, grace, God's grace. The precious unmerited favor of God has been extended to me. The marvelous grace of my Savior knows no boundaries. God's great grace can, listen. This is good news. God's great grace can demolish and wipe out all sin. I mean, fill in the blank, but I'm talking generally jealousy and lust and lies and deception and addictions and pride and cheating and guilt. It doesn't matter. When we confess our sins and hand everything over to Him, He takes care of it all instantly. Wow! Instantly. Why? Because of the provision on the cross. 1 John 1:9. I put a square around that because it's a choice, free will. If we confess, admit and repent of, I added parenthetically, our sins to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from some of our own righteousness. My dad used to say, no. What's it say? The scripture says, all wickedness, all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus does. Jesus extends grace, not guilt or grief or shame, when he washes away all our sin. Romans 8:1. So now, because of his grace, I'm adding, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. In other words, Y2J, I am a child of God because I've chosen him with my free will. I am a child of God. Well, so to that answer, as I get ready to transition to an illustration here in a couple minutes, people ask me, Pastor, why in the world would a God who's so loving allow suffering, and why in the world would he send people to hell? And my answer is simply, he doesn't. You and I have a choice. You and I have a choice where we're going to spend eternity forever with him or without him. I'm thinking that sometimes I see people that are choosing to live hell on earth, here and there, now and then, but you don't have to. People choose hell by ignoring or denying their sin, by rejecting Jesus. It's a necessary consequence for that choice. People choose hell by saying no to Jesus and what he did on the cross. Please hear this. Write this on the flyleaf of your mind, if I could say it right. Hell is where we pay for our sins forever if we don't accept Jesus' payment of them. Listen, please hear me. I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to have to give an answer, and I don't want any of you point at him and go, man, I was there. He didn't tell me the truth. He didn't tell me the way. He didn't tell me there was only one way, and it was Jesus. I've got to be faithful because I've got to stand before him and give an answer for that, and I want to do my best. Many don't want to live with God in heaven for eternity, but still, here's the good news. Some of you have declined and pushed him away and said no for a long time and when he's touched your heart. But God is still wooing us. In Jesus, he provided a way for anyone and everyone to get it. What's it say in 2 Peter 3:9? The Lord, listen, this is a great scripture. The Lord really isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. No. He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Is there anybody within the sound of my voice that is outside in everyone? Huh? I think that includes us all. He doesn't want anyone to be lost, but everyone to repent. God, in his love, sent Jesus to save us from hell and to give us eternal life with him in heaven. When we're born, eternal life begins. We were created to live forever somewhere. We'll always all spend eternity. Jesus came to give eternal life. John 17:3. And this is the way to have eternal life. To know, K-N-O-W, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. You say, Pastor, that's exclusive language. No. Those are inclusive words. When you say Y2J, yes, to a relationship with Jesus, that's that check mark in the box, the J check mark. He invades and saturates your heart, your life. He turns you in a positive direction immediately. I mean, God's into U-turns. Is anybody glad about that? God's into 180 U-turns. I mean, you were going this way, and you do an about-face and head in a new direction. I alluded to this scripture, but I'll use it again this week. Revelation 21, 3b. Look, God's home is now among his people. We're his dwelling place. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. That is great news forever. John 14:3. I use this scripture often. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. This is love language, so that you will always be with me where I am. Do you understand the significance of that? I've often, for those of you that have been around here a long time, I've often used the illustration, as much as we love our grands, we're into headlights, we love to see them coming, we love to see them turn on Lincoln Way Farms Road, those headlights come in our drive, but sometimes we're so relieved to see taillights and say bye-bye. See you again soon. Can you relate? So I want you to understand the significance of this little verse. Who in the world do you want to be always with you where you are? Think about that. But God loves us so much, he said, that's exactly what I want. How can you outrun? How can you avoid? How can you evade a love like that? Wow. Jesus came to give eternal life, not to bring condemnation, as we read in John 3:16 and 17. And he's coming for us. Colossians 3:11a, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. In that place, Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There in that glorious place with God forever, because we're children of God, there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Like my friend Andre Crouch sang and wrote, I never met him, but he's a great friend, dear to my heart. No more crying there. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. The choice is yours. Heaven is the land of no more. No more suffering. No more pain. No more sickness. No more dying. No more tears. Does that sound attractive to you? And it's all been provided through us, for us, through Jesus Christ. So here's my challenge. I ask all of you, doesn't matter how old you are, how many church services you've been in or haven't been in, are you heaven ready? Say, what do you mean by that? Well, last week I ended with an illustration of how to get to heaven. I tried to make it as simple and clear as I could with the help of Randy Alcorn, but I thought of another way that I want to illustrate it, because we've been talking about baptism Sundays, and we have them. They're a huge celebration. We're baptizing around 30 or so today, split up between the two services. We love it. But I always want to make sure that every time we do it, it's a Y2J, or it's a Yes to Jesus Sunday as well, and we're kind of kicking that off today. So let me just ask you, I want you to think about this. So how to get to heaven, but today I want to say, what does it mean to accept Jesus and have your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, as the illustration was last week, and instantly become heaven ready? How do you make the gift of salvation yours? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, there's the bad news and the good news. For the wages of sin is death, and that's that eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that good news? For sure it is. All right. I see my friend Logan back there. Logan, are you here? Logan Hirschberger? Where are you? Would you come up here, please? I'm going to help you out. I want you to help me out. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're good with it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we need a mic. You just stand right there. How you doing? This is how we greet each other. Hi, how are you? We have the shrug connection here. He's my friend. One of our great seniors that's graduated here. So I want to ask you a couple questions here, all right? So here I have a couple of gifts on the table. One's for this service, and one's for later. But really, one of these is for you, for real. This isn't play pretend, give it back when nobody's looking, okay? This is for real. So I want you to take this, and I want to do this. This is a little Bose wireless speaker because I love Bose. They've been very good to me. I've had systems throughout the years. So here's a gift. So I'm extending it to you, but what do you have to do to make it yours? What do you have to do? Receive it. Take it. Okay? Go ahead and take it. Now, what's the proper attitude when you receive a gift? What would your attitude need to be? Thank you. An attitude of gratitude, right? Free gift. Did you earn that?
No.
Do you deserve it?
Not really.
No. But it's a free gift offered to you. Just stay right there a moment. That's it. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Listen, the blood of Jesus and his sacrificial death on the cross, God has provided and now offers you salvation as a free gift. Not something you earn or deserve, but something you can only receive, just like Logan did. How would I feel if I said, no, you weren't grateful enough and took it back? I mean, how would you feel? No. Yeah. That's his best Eeyore look right there. No, it's offered freely. All you have to do is receive it. Why in the world would you not want to receive a gift like that, but something that is so much greater? Right? Are you getting the drift here? Hold on. I'm not done with you. That's the gospel. Isaiah 55, 6, a familiar scripture again. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Hey, the only time we can find him is while we still have life and breath. Like right now, got it? I mean, that's the opportunity. Call on him now, I circled, while he is near. Because we didn't dream up the idea of coming together for a baptismal yes to Jesus Day. It was his invitation. He said, you all come. He's extended the invitation to us today. 2 Corinthians 6, 2, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you on the day of salvation. That's a Y2J day. I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Because there's no guarantee of anything but now, is there? Today, right now. So, think about it, Logan. You can hold on to that one because I don't want you to think I'm going to take it back. But here's the gift that you've received. You can look at it and you can stare at it. You can believe and know it's real. I mean, is that a real thing? You don't know what's in it, but I do. You think it's a Bose, but we'll see when you open it. But you believe and know it's real. You can even admit it's valuable. It's just really neat, something you can use for years. And you can say you want it, but it's really not yours until you reach out and take it with your free will. You must receive this free but costly gift. Is that clear? All right. Give me a hug. He's a good one. Let's hear it for Logan. He's a good sport. Wrap it up before we shift gears to baptism. God has provided and now offers you the greatest gift ever. Bose speaker is nothing. The gift is forgiveness for all your sin and the promise of eternal life. The promise. Does that sound certain to you? The promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. This extravagant gift only becomes yours when you reach out and receive it. In other words, when you open up your heart and say, yes, Y2J. Pastor, this message could preach to kids or teens. Well, I know. They say if you want to communicate, you better need to make it about geared toward a 12-year-old, right? It's for all of us today. John 1:12, but to all who believed him and accepted or received him, he gave the right to become children of God. You only join God's family and become his child by receiving the gift of Jesus into your heart and life. Can I be really clear about that? Because I hear mistakenly, I'll tell, oh, we're all God's children. No, just because he created us doesn't mean it's our children. We've got to join his family. We've been invited, but we have to say yes. Please nod your head if you're hearing my heart. You got to say yes. Have you said yes? This isn't a Nazarene way or a Baptist way I'm peddling. This is a biblical way. Offering our sin and then ourselves completely to him. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If, there's that word, conditional. But if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Openly declare, but also believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Verse 10. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. Logan, I love it. Back to you for a moment. He's going to be baptized here in a little while. He brought some friends. Would you and all your friends just stand up? We want to applaud you. Come on. I know. I'm embarrassing. That's all right. Come on. Look at that. Look at all that. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. You can be seated. Incredible. Incredible. In other words, he's saying, human that he is, I'm not ashamed of Jesus and what he's done in my life. And do you want to come when I'm baptized publicly, declaring my faith in Jesus? Many are going to do that today. So to receive the gift of Jesus, listen, you don't earn him. You don't buy him. You don't work for him. You must simply by faith receive him as the gift that he is. And the Bible's saying in modern words, our faith is never to be incognito. You know what I'm saying? Hidden. He said, don't be ashamed of me or I'll be ashamed of you. Declare it. Identify with him. And say this and pray this from your heart. Lord, I do believe in Jesus. I do, with all my heart. I believe that the Bible is true. I believe in heaven and I believe in the reality of hell. But I want to surrender my life, my sin to him completely, my past and present and future, and give him all that I am. I want to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is raised from the dead. I want to be saved. I want to be your child. I declare that God is my Father and that Jesus is my Savior and that I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Heads bowed all over the place today. Heads bowed. I just want us to take a few moments of contemplation here. And just ask yourself, as you kind of go palms up, we say around here, just like that's an expression of your heart, just kind of your palms up, just saying yes to Jesus. You can know, and you must know, you do know whether or not you're heaven ready. And it comes down to this. Have you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead? And then, have you lived it without fear and favor and boldly professed the name of Jesus? I can't answer that for you. I'm not condemning you. It's your choice. If I could talk you into it, somebody could talk you out of it. But by your free will today, he's saying, I love you. I'm being patient because I'm waiting for you to say yes. I want you to spend eternity with me. I want you to always be with me where I am because I love you so very much. Heads bowed, reverently. If you at some point in your life have prayed and said, Jesus, I do believe and I confess, I want you just to look up and stare at me. If you've made that decision all over this room, would you look at me? Would you look up? You know for certain that you're God's child. Yeah, heads bowed again. Heads bowed. Heads bowed. If there are some today in this room or even online, though I can't see you, if you're ready to say, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure, I'm uncertain, but I know I want heaven to be my eternal home, and by faith I'm choosing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead, and I will confess it, even beginning with a small step right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is my spiritual D-Day, victory day, and I want Jesus to be my Savior. All over this room, the grandstand, I'm just going to ask that if that's you, would you raise your head and look me in the eye? I can't see you clearly. Is there anybody that would? Raise your head and look at me. Look at me. I'll go one step further. If you want to make that decision, if you're making that right now, would you lift your hand just where you are and slip it down? Just hold it up a moment. Hold it up high. I'm choosing to be heaven ready. I'm making Jesus my Savior right now. I'm waiting, lingering. Would you do that? Don't be ashamed. Declare him. I see it. I see it. Thank you. Are there others? God's here. He's not condemning. He's loving you. He's saying, don't be ashamed of me. Let me change your life instantly. Is there anybody else? Father, I thank you for your presence. You're so tender, drawing our hearts toward you. And we know today that as we go into baptism in a moment, that this is the prerequisite for living a transformed life, saying yes to a relationship with you. And I know these messages may not be popular to a lot of people, but boy, we want to know the truth, what your word has to say. And I thank you for those who said, I want my name to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those today who have lifted their hands, and those that are really considering it because your spirit is drawing them, whether they know it or not or can understand it, you're drawing them to make a decision to say yes to a relationship to Jesus. Yes to confession and confessing and repenting our sins and turning our back and living for you, giving all of ourselves to you. I thank you for that, and may there continue to be decisions. And we thank you for those that are celebrating today in a few moments that they have been buried with Christ and raised with him to new life that you make possible. Eternity with you, no doubt, complete certainty. And I pray it with a grateful heart and with a heart of expectancy. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You doing all right out there? You doing all right out there? Hey, if you've made a decision for Jesus today, last week several, I didn't get away from the altars. People were coming and talking to me, telling me that. If you've made that decision today, would you come and tell me or tell Pastor Joel or Pastor Sheldon or one of the pastors or staff, declare it. Don't be ashamed. That'll be a positive faith step. I'm going to make known the decision I've made today.